I mean, it's just, and then in worship, it's just amazing. Did you guys feel it? There's like a, the spirit, guys, the spirit of awakening is here. The spirit of revival is here today. It was manifesting in the service. The Holy Spirit is ready to do some new things here, and He is ready to come again. So we just invite you, Holy Spirit, on this message time. We invite you, O wind of heaven, to blow on us. We just invite you, Holy Spirit, to fall like fire, to fall like rain. Lord, we just invite you to awaken us again, Father. And we just pray that you would enrich us with the word, the spirit of testimony and prophecy in Jesus. Amen. All right. So we're going to start with an activity, but everybody, I was going to start with Matthew 12, but I think I'm going to go to Mark, book of Mark, chapter 3. And we're going to tell a story. And I need 6 volunteers. I need a Jesus. Who wants to be Jesus? Actually, Jesus was probably clean-shaven and had short hair. Did y'all know that? Jesus was probably clean-shaven and had short hair because the Jews of Jesus' day were very Hellenized, and since Jesus was not a rabbi, only rabbis and people like John the Baptist that took vows had long hair and beards. Yep. Yep. So anyway, yeah, Kenan can be Jesus anyway. Come on up. Jesus forgot to shave for a couple weeks. He was out in the wilderness and doing things. He was hanging out with his cousin John. All right, I need 3 disciples. Let's get Peter, James, and John. Jesus, you go pick your 3 disciples. Go call them. Go pick out 3 disciples. Or you can pick out 2 disciples if you want. And I need a Mary. Now we'll put Jesus and his disciples over here. I need a Mary. Who's going to be the mother of Jesus? Who wants to be a mother of Jesus? You want to come be, Jan, the mother of Jesus? Now, I need... Now, Mary, I want you to pick out Jesus' brothers. Pick 2 brothers.
Steve Metzger, get over here.
Yep. Oh, and then, Peter, Jesus, you also need... You know, Jesus had a lot of women with him in ministry. You need Mary Magdalene because she was around this time period, around the same chapters. She joined Jesus' discipleship. And it wasn't just Mary Magdalene. There was a bunch of other Marys, too. So Jesus had a whole crowd. Jesus had male and female disciples. Their 12 were all male, but he also had a whole bunch of female disciples, too, that went with him. And they actually supported his ministry monetarily. The women had all the money. All right. So here in Mark chapter 3, verses 31 through 35, it says, well, Jesus was preaching, okay, first he was in the synagogue in chapter 3, and he healed a man on the Sabbath, okay? And right before this, just to put it in perspective, Jesus came to his hometown, and he preached in his hometown, and that didn't go over so well with his hometown. Did not go too well, and we'll get back into more of that later. So he left his hometown, and he went out to Galilee and Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, beyond the Jordan, Tyre. People came all the way from Tyre and Sidon, from the neighboring areas and states, and a huge crowd was following Jesus, and then Jesus went and got his 12 disciples. So Jesus has his disciples, and they're brand new, okay? So this is before Jesus, this is early in his ministry, okay? And there were so many people here in the crowd following Jesus. There were so many people following Jesus that him and his disciples did not even have a chance to eat. There were so many people following them. And his family, in verse 21, they went out to seize him and say, he is out of his mind. So here comes Mary and the brothers. You're going to come grab Jesus. You're going to snatch him. You want to snatch him from the disciples and take him away. Because Jesus has been out of... Jesus, you are out of line. All right. And all the scribes and Pharisees showed up and said that Jesus is possessed by Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies. He is demon-possessed. So now Jesus' family and Jesus' pastor and all of the leaders in his hometown and everybody around are all saying, Jesus, you're going to go, we're going to put you in the insane asylum, which at that point they would chain people up. We're going to go chain you up somewhere and you're crazy and we're going to put a stop to all of this foolishness now. You're nuts. All right. No, and it says in 31, Jesus was teaching. His mother and brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and brothers are outside seeking you. And Jesus answered and said, Who are my mothers and brothers? Who are my mothers and brothers, said Jesus. Yep. Looking around at those who were around him, he said, here are my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my sister and my mother. That's good. All right. Yep, so leave your mom and brothers and come back to the disciples. All right, thanks, guys. Give them a hand. They can all go sit down now. Y'all can all go sit down. So, but isn't this kind of an interesting story? Have you ever seen this? Has anybody here never read this story, just out of curiosity, never noticed it? It's repeated in all four Gospels, so it's something that all of the disciples wrote about. They were all there for it. They all wrote different... It was all pretty much the same version, but Mark has a little bit more details. And so why would Jesus say this, who are my mother and my brothers, and just leave his mom and brothers and, you know, just ditch them, you know, instead of working things out and stuff? Was Jesus trying to slam his mother? Was he being unkind to her? Do you think that's how Jesus was? No. As a matter of fact, in Mark chapter 7, verse 10, Jesus told everybody to honor their father and mother. And he said that anybody who did not support their father and mother was actually sinning, even though the Pharisees and lawyers had made up a rule that said that you don't have to support your parents. As far as Jesus was concerned, children are supposed to support their parents and honor them in very practical ways. And not only that, but later on, if you go to the book of John, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but in John 19, when Jesus was on the cross, he didn't forget his mother. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if I were in the middle of being crucified after being tortured and beaten for hours, I probably would mostly be focused on myself. You know, if you've ever been in a whole lot of pain before, then it's really hard to focus on other people. You don't really care about other people and what they're doing. You're just like, it hurts, you know. But even though Jesus was in so much pain, he did not forget his mother, and his mother was there with him. In verse 26 and 27, you had Mary Magdalene. His aunt was there too. And when when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, which is the John, he said, woman, behold your son, and son, behold your mother. And then Mary went to live. His mother went to live with the apostle John from that day forward. And people ask, okay, well, what happened to Joseph, Jesus' father? Well, most scholars believe that Joseph actually passed away much earlier, that before Jesus began his ministry, that Joseph had died and that Mary was a widow on her own at that point. And Jesus had, I think he had, is it four brothers and at least two sisters? So Jesus was the oldest of seven, as far as they know. He may have had more sisters, but his sisters are mentioned as being plural when they're in his hometown. He's like, aren't his sisters among us? You know, so he was the oldest of a bunch of his family members. But Jesus really did things differently. And it was really hard for him. And the family of God is something really different. How many people here that when you got saved and you gave your life to the Lord, it created issues with your family and friends? Anybody here? I was lucky. I didn't lose any family members when I came to Jesus, but I know a lot of people had the same issues that Jesus did, where people in their family thought, "You're nuts. You gave your life to the Lord. You're out preaching. You're trying to do ministry. You've abandoned the family business. You're not taking care of your family members and putting them first. You're putting ministry first, and you're putting the Lord first instead of your family members. What's wrong with you? You're crazy." And sometimes there's a little pushback from family members that just don't understand how important the Lord is to you. And I lost friends when I was starting. I mean, I can remember when I was 9 and 10 years old, my friends mocking me and making fun of me and bullying me because I was a Christian and loved the Lord. And that continued all the way through high school and college. And in college, my friends were really upset by the fact that I didn't drink. And so they would take me out and try to force me to drink alcohol, and they would make fun of me, and, you know, because they wanted me to get drunk. They just could not handle the fact that I was a Christian. And that really upset them. Wow. So you really did experience Jesus' family saying that you were out of your mind. Yeah. Yeah. So that really happens sometimes. And so Jesus said when he preached in his hometown in Mark 6, a prophet is only without honor among his relatives and his own household. So they just didn't always understand it. Let's see. So this is something that's really important, guys. When we have new people come to the Lord, that we surround them and be a family, and our church is a family. Because sometimes when people leave everything they know to follow Jesus when they come to this church, sometimes they leave their old friends and their old life, and they just can't do the things they used to do before or go the places. And so, so anytime somebody is, we just all need to kind of be there for each other and come around each other, support each other, and love each other. And also pray for each other's families. Yep. And I also want to point out that just like Jesus said, "Here are my mother and brothers," well, Jesus wasn't kin to Mary Magdalene or the other Marys that follow him. He wasn't blood related to them, but he still called them his mother. They were really important to his ministry. So some of the ladies in the church here, they may not be flesh and blood kin to the other church members here, but they are nonetheless just as important as mothers in the church, you know, as everybody else. But I'm not saying all this to get everybody down and bummed out about the cost that Jesus said. But I do want to read this one verse here. Let's see. Where did I put it? I can't read my own handwriting. I can't read my handwriting. Jesus said that nobody was worthy of him who wasn't willing to leave his father and mother and houses. Which, that's kind of a severe statement, isn't it? Kind of rough and sobering that the gospel sometimes requires giving up some things and some old ways of doing things and some old habits. Thankfully, God hasn't asked me to give up my house. He gave me a house, too. But I did have to give up at one point leaving where I wanted to live and where I wanted to be. I really wanted to stay in North Carolina in Chapel Hill. And I wanted to do things there with the Algonquin Books and the company that I was following. And the Lord brought me back to Martinsville and had me work in ministry and stuff like that. And it's a totally different life than what I thought I would be living. But I made that decision. And that was really hard for me. But good things came out of it, because if I hadn't come back to Martinsville, I never would have met Josh. never would have had Josh and Bruce and Debbie in my life at all if I hadn't done all that. So it all works out for the good. And you know what? Things did work out in the end with Jesus and his family. If you turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 14. Does anybody know what happened to Jesus' mother after she went to live with John and his brothers? This is after Jesus had, after the resurrection, when Jesus ascended, all of the disciples were in the upper room. And verse 13 names all the different disciples. And then in 14 it says, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And the Greek uses the word sibleo. You know, anytime you have the word brothers in the New Testament, it's almost always the word sibleo, which is the word we get from siblings. So it's inclusive all of men and women. So anytime, just got to think about that. You know, anytime you read the word brothers in the New Testament, it's including the women too. So Mary and all of Jesus' brothers, somehow, between the early days of Jesus' ministry, between then and the cross, they became part of the disciples. And they became part of the early church. Not only did they become part of the early church, but after the resurrection in the church in Jerusalem, is two of Jesus' brothers became really important to the early church. Jude and James. Did you know the book of Jude was written by one of Jesus' younger brothers? Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. Even though I took two Bible courses in college, I somehow missed that part. I knew James was a brother of Jesus. James was such an important part of the church that he was a very important early church leader, partly in charge of the Jerusalem church, and he was called James the Just, or James the Righteous, because he was considered such a holy man. So he went, that's a really long, far, you know, change from the carpenter family that they were. And he even gave his life. In 62 AD, he was beheaded, executed in Jerusalem, because he was a Christian. So not only did his brothers and his mother became so close to the church that they joined it and lived with everybody, but they really believed it wholeheartedly, to the point of laying their life on the line. And so I just want to point out that the cross, the blood of Jesus, can bring every family member together. And everybody at one point or another, even, I just want to encourage people, if you have people in your family that think you're crazy for being a Christian, that Jesus went through that too. And that not only that, that Jesus brought everybody in his family together, and that there can be reconciliation for all of the family members in this church if you have estranged family members who don't believe the same way. So that we can all be Jesus' mother and brothers together. We can all be together.